Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Joe McGranahan is here. You are in good hands, not because of us, but because of Lynn Hall, our fabulous producer on the other side of the glass.
Hey.
So she does a super job, so we always appreciate her help and
fellow
hard
history
work.
Buff, too.
Right. Yeah, she loves history, Civil War history.
She's got it all.
She's very knowledgeable. And
I keep bugging her by giving her book recommendations.
She gives, she remembers things accurately too.
As opposed to me.
Right. You're slipping. Joe's slipping.
Yeah, I'm going downhill. Circling the drain.
Yep. That seems a little extreme, but in any event, yeah, that's true.
And I'm circling the drain.
As I have always said, even your diminished capacity, you're still 10 times smarter than me. So between
but
the two of us.
That's not much of an accomplishment.
No, it is
you
not.
You set the bar very low there.
All right. 1-800. Oh, thank heaven he's there.
Why, Stan?
Stan. What's up, brother?
Yeah, good morning.
I was going to introduce the show saying, where's Stan? We got to get started here. And voila.
Yeah, well, I figured I'd come stir the pot again today. There's an article online a couple days ago from the Daily Wire.
Stan, we don't care if you stir the pot, but you're going to have to lick the spoon.
Ah, nah. This is pretty nasty, so I'm not licking any spoon out of this one.
All right.
Okay. So the Daily Wire a few days ago posted an article online that relates to Pennsylvania and our fine Governor Wolf, okay? Since 2015, the state has spent $16.7 million in gender-affirming treatment for minors, not adults, minors. That includes puberty blockers, hormone treatments, and surgeries to remove parts that shouldn't be removed. Now, this was found out through the PA Family Institute. They did a public records request, okay? So from 2015 to 2021, there's been a 5,000% increase in gender care for minors under 18. Now, I don't want my tax dollars going to mutilate kids. I don't know about you.
Not particularly.
Just saying.
No.
Well, they are.
What are the ages of these kids?
Under 18.
Under 18. With parental
under
permission?
Under 18, minors.
Do they have, I mean, the state's not just grabbing them off the street and performing mutilating surgery on them. Their parents or somebody has to have consented to this, right?
Well, it doesn't say that, and I think the parents should be in prison for child abuse, too, for allowing this, okay? They should be seeking mental health treatment, not surgery to remove parts that shouldn't be removed.
And you're sure that's what was happening, that the parts were being removed?
That's what it says in the article. They were getting the hormone treatments, the puberty blockers, which is basically chemical castration drugs that they give to sex offenders, okay? So, and surgeries.
Where was this article written? Where'd you find this?
The Daily Wire.
The Daily Wire.
DailyWire.com. Now, it leans right. That is 100% true. But the records request was from the Pennsylvania Family Institute is the one that got the records and did the research. They're just reporting it. The Daily Wire is reporting it.
Okay. And
so I'm just throwing that out there. I think it's pretty disgusting that our tax dollars are being used in this way.
And this is for surgery?
Surgery and hormone treatment and puberty blocker treatment.
I mean, it specifically says it's for surgery.
No, he's saying it's
well,
for both.
If you read the article, it covers all of it.
But you're saying taxpayers are paying for teen gender-affirming surgery.
$16.7 million since 2015 have been used for this. Tax dollars. So that I'm assuming that would be through Medicaid. All right. Now, if an adult, as I've said in the past, if an adult decides they want to do this, first of all, if an adult decides this is elective stuff, in my opinion, they should be paying for it for them by themselves. The taxpayers shouldn't. But I do know that taxpayers pay for this, because what have we heard in the past, I don't know, 10, 15 years, that sex changes in prison, and prisoners go to prison, they want sex changes, the government pays for them in certain states. I don't know if that happens in Pennsylvania. I won't attest to that because I don't know. All I know is it shouldn't be using taxpayer dollars for any of it.
It doesn't necessarily say they're cutting parts off. It says, and I'm reading the article, it says that the money has been spent on puberty-blocking drugs, cross-sex hormones, and gender-related surgeries for minors. It says gender-related, so I'm sure that could be cutting things off, but it could be other things as well, could it not?
What other surgeries do they require to affirm someone's gender, Joe?
Well, that's a good question. And it said this type of care is happening right now at major institutions like CHOP, Penn State Health, and UPMC Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh. And here's what you didn't say that is especially concerning, especially to children in foster care.
Well, see, that there's a whole other problem, because where that's, they're under state control at that point, correct?
I would think, yep.
Yeah, so that's a whole nother problem. And it all comes down to using people's tax dollars for this kind of stuff. Now, I'm sure there's a whole majority of people in this state that don't want their tax dollars going for this kind of stuff. And I'm one of them.
Well, now, for him to spend that money, Stan, someone has to have had put in a budget request, and it had to have been approved by the State House and Senate in the budget. And that is it's controlled by Republicans. I can't imagine if this were so, that Republicans wouldn't be howling. And I haven't heard them howling.
It came for public records request, Joe. I don't know, okay? Because, you know, you can only read what's in the article.
Yeah.
It came from public records. They said what it is.
But can you imagine
that? If it came through the Pennsylvania Health Services, correct? They have a budget, discretionary budget, I'm sure. Don't all the offices have discretionary budgets?
I don't know. That sounds like a slush fund to me, discretionary budget.
I thought the money had to be accounted for. Now, I'm sure Medicaid stuff cover mental health care, correct?
Yes, I would suspect.
Okay. So, in my opinion, I don't have a problem if they want to use this to treat them mentally, because that's the issue, in my opinion. But to do any further than that, to give them hormones and the puberty blockers, which can permanently damage them, not to mention surgeries with... can't go back from.
Well, the article also says...
You do that to a boy, you can't return from it.
The article also says when Governor Wolf took office, he unilaterally changed state policy to cover things like double mastectomies to remove healthy breasts from minor girls and irreversible experimental hormones for children. And this is from Emily Kreps of the PA Family Institute. The same drugs used to chemically castrate convicted sex offenders are being funded by tax dollars for minors.
Doesn't sound good to me. How about you, Joe? What do you think?
No, it doesn't sound good. I'm assuming that this is a legitimate article. I'm not familiar with The Wire, and I don't read it or follow it, so I don't know what their reputation is.
The likes of EB will say, "Well, it's a left wing rag." You know, it does. It leans. Not left wing. I'm sorry, EB. It's right wing, and it does, and I understand that. But you won't get this from the left wing news media, will you?
Well, right. I think it's a complicated story, and I don't think anybody's going to be able to present all sides of this topic, or nobody would have the interest to. Obviously, The Wire's interested in the right-hand side of this, and maybe there is somebody that's talking about the left-hand. But I think it's really significantly complicated. Stan, you seem grotesquely obsessed with this idea of transgender
and
religious.
No, Mark.
And so what I would try to say is that maybe you should bone up on the topic and try to get more people, to get more information, to read up on this, find out, maybe what
Medicare. But that's exactly what he's done. He's read up on this article, which supposedly came from a Freedom of Information request.
Okay. All right.
I would think this is a logical place to start.
Exactly.
What Stan's
doing
no
is
bringing it
there.
Out here and saying,
I agree with that. So I think that's a great place to start. Yeah, so I would invite you to find out what you say would be the other side of the story and maybe the middle side of the story, which might be for Medicare and so
but
on.
These are not suppositions, though, Mark. These are exact statements. In 2021, Pennsylvania spent more than $3.9 million on services pertaining to sex reassignment and transition-related services for drugs. Now, that's an absolute statement. That's either true or it's false. There's no wiggle room there. That's what they're saying. So if this is a lie and it's not true...
You're having a little argument with yourself. I'm not going to argue with you about this.
That's the best argument I can get here this morning.
Well, I'm simply saying that if you have a story that has 100 facts to it and you have discovered two irrefutable facts, which will all stipulate that what you found are two, and you don't have the other 98, all of a sudden you two say, oh my gosh, we have got the whole story, we're ready to act. And that's ridiculous.
What would the other 98 possibly be? What do you think the other 98 missing parts of this story might actually be?
Well, the specific circumstances of the individuals involved. Stan, you have read this article, and I know they went into it. Explain why the physicians and the family said this was justified.
I didn't know.
You've said I don't know 6 times in the past 9 minutes.
But you tell me. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, Mark. Do you think it's right, especially if these are mostly foster kids, that these kids should be mutilated under age 18? They're not even adults. Just because they think they're something doesn't mean they are.
Well, I know enough.
So do you think it's right that we should be mutilating these kids with taxpayer dollars?
Stan, all I'm saying is it isn't a yes or no answer. That there are circumstances where you could find out all the information about the individual involved, their family involved, their foster family, the agencies involved, doctors and counselors involved,
matter,
and then
Mark.
Find out
it
if there
matter.
Are some circumstances.
This is wrong.
If there are some circumstances where these individuals could be treated in this way. I recognize the fact that you definitely have two irrefutable facts and a complicated story.
There's more, and you've cut Stan off.
So you're saying in a partial story, no, you actually have more to learn?
Yes, here. A young Pennsylvania woman named Casey Miller had a viral video on Twitter describing the significant hair loss and receding hairline she now has after 5 years of taking testosterone. Miller adopted a transgender identity at 16 and was referred to a local gender clinic by CHOP, where she was prescribed the hormone just after her 17th birthday. Only 6 months after the injections began, she received a double mastectomy to remove her breasts. At age 21, she announced that she wanted to detransition after realizing that social contagion, those are her words, greatly influenced her initial decision.
Gotcha. Okay.
So now
Stan,
there's an individual. That's what you wanted for, an individual whose circumstances... Flesh out the story.
So now you have 3 facts out of the 100 that go into this story. Stan, we'll give you the last word.
It's wrong, and especially wrong to be using taxpayer dollars for it. This is a mental condition that needs to be treated by mental professionals. Okay? When you permanently alter someone, a child, I'm talking children here, under the age of 18, that is a big problem, and people don't see that. Well, that's a whole other set of issues.
Well, what if a psychiatrist
Thank
reviewed
you, Stan.
Each individual case
Thank you,
and
sir.
Decided that this young lady really did want to transition into being a man and approved it? Would you be okay with that if the psychiatrist said she really has a desire to be a man?
No.
Okay.
No. under 18, adults can make that decision, not the adults of the children, okay? They're still children. They change their mind daily on what they think they are or aren't.
Well, at age 21, this girl did announce that she wanted to go back to being a girl after having gone through double mastectomies and years of hormone treatment that left her partially bald.
Now, she decided it wasn't the right thing for her, but she had permanent alterations done, and what has it done for her? Nothing. Changed her life forever, and she will never be able to go back to the woman that she could have been.
But what the story doesn't say, to Mark's point, is it doesn't say who gave the authorization at age 17 for her to receive these treatments.
Because in some states, it's not even the parents don't even have any say in the matter.
But if the parents approved it, You know, I agree with you. I don't think taxpayer dollars should pay for it, but if the parents approved it, it's their right to raise their child as they see fit.
Well, nobody knows.
Yeah, I guess we could go there, but in other cases, you know, the parents don't want the kids to receive certain medical treatment. The kids are taken from them.
All right,
correct?
Stan, go ahead and bone up on this. Find out lots more, and then we'd love to hear from you.
I don't need to know more, Mark. I think it's wrong all the way across the board.
That's
if you're doing it, if an adult wants to do it, okay. I think it's a little strange, but okay. Kids doing it, 100% wrong, and the taxpayers should never pay one dime towards it.
There,
period.
I agree with you completely. Right. That's a personal decision.
Thank you, sir.
Right.
Have a good one. Bye.
Right. I mean, personal. Do you want the federal government or the state government to pay for your appendectomy?
This proves more than ever. The less you know about something, hold on to your position. The less you know, the better.
But isn't this the tip of the iceberg? Isn't if someone doesn't explain it, if someone doesn't file a Freedom from Information Act request, if somebody doesn't gather the initial information, how would we ever know, using your logic, how would we ever know that this stuff is going on?
I invite you to do 50 Freedom of Information Act to request, if that's what it takes for you to bone up on this topic and to know about it and to understand
what are we
situation that's associated with transgender individuals in adolescence and the treatment of them and their physicians and their families and their foster situations. Honestly, Joe, I don't think you're wrong, and I know Stan's not wrong. I'm just saying once you have solidified your case that this is wrong, when you know little of this as one article, you say automatically I'm informed and I'm ready to make my decision.
There are two different decisions here. One is whether or not this should happen at all. And the other is whether or not we, the taxpayers, should fund it. Whether it should happen at all is a decision that's outside of the scope of this conversation for the moment. But let's say what Stan really called about was the fact that taxpayers are paying for it.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have an obligation as a taxpayer to pay for your transgender surgery? No, I do not. If you want it and your parents approve it and the medical community will give it to you, and a psychiatrist who should be involved in it says that it's reasonable for you to do this, I'm okay with it. I guess it's not my choice, but I darn well don't want to pay for it.
Well, there are lots and lots of folks out there that feel the same way, and they know as little as you do. Granted, now you know four facts because you read the whole article.
Well, how many do you know? Share what you know with us. How many do you know?
I know something that a good boss taught me years ago.
What's that?
Know what you don't know.
Right.
You think you know a lot about this now, and you don't. You know nothing about the transgender, and you're also
I know that we're paying for it. You didn't
hear me. Reactive. Anytime anybody talks about transgender or cross dressing, you flip out and you say, "Oh my God, this is red meat. We got to talk about this. We got to argue about this." I think you're a little bit protesting too much, Joe.
Listen,
I think we're on to something.
I'm talking about the amount of money that taxpayers spend for this. Should the taxpayer forget about the other stuff? I just conceded to you that it was not a decision that I would want to make as to whether or not somebody should have this type of surgery. It's not my decision to make.
I got you.
But I am affected if taxpayer dollars are paying for it.
I got you.
Now, do you agree that taxpayers should fund this?
Okay.
No, I'm asking you, of all the facts you've assembled...
I'm not ready to decide that. I only know one article about this.
But as a matter of philosophy, should taxpayers be compelled
under the
to
right
pay?
Circumstances, comprehensive medical care should be provided to adolescents if they can't afford it on their own. It could be life-saving. It could be involving a wide range of other things. It could end up saving money in the long run in terms of counseling and or suicide or incarceration. If you treat an adolescent properly and show them love in a way that is a contemporary way, not the old-fashioned way where you just ignore things or make sure you know as little about them as possible, it could be that this is a great idea, and it could be that if you became informed on this, you might agree that it's the right thing to do under these very specific narrow circumstances.
No,
but
I don't agree.
Of course, you say, no, I don't need to know more. Taxpayer dollars, infrastructure, not teens.
The function of government is to do things like protect us, to build roads,
stop
have
signs
highways.
Exactly.
Right. Keep us safe.
Right.
It's not to fund surgeries, elective, optional surgeries that you may decide you want.
Okay.
That's the difference here.
I'm conceding your point, Joe. You got it.
Well, I asked you if you would agree that the taxpayer dollars shouldn't fund it, but you went off on some tirade about how we need to have a case-by-case analysis of whether or not taxpayers should fund this stuff.
I'm just saying, Joe, you're in a very safe ground. Nobody's going to ask your taxpayer dollars to be used for this. Make sure you stay as uninformed on this as possible so that you never know anything about what we're actually talking about here.
Well, you condescendingly... throw this crap out, but you're not telling me what you know that I don't know. You're saying that I am uninformed, but you're not telling me how informed you are and what your information has led you to conclude.
Didn't you used to say...
I'm asking you,
you
a question.
You have to know what you don't
right,
know.
Right, but I'm are you telling me you don't know?
Yeah, I'm telling you 150,000,000%. I have no idea what's going on in these
cases.
Well,
then I'm more informed than you are. I've got four facts.
No argument there. No argument there. And I'm the one who's curious, and you're the ones that dead set in your ignorance. That's the difference.
All I'm saying is I'm telling you how I feel. If you have a convincing counter-argument, I'm waiting to hear it.
My counter-argument is that the more you know, the better off you are. This is the first time you've ever stood at this table and said the less you know, the better off you are.
Not the
topic.
Less you know. I'm not saying that there aren't a myriad of details that might influence an individual decision, but the individual decision be hanged when it comes to whether or not taxpayers should fund it.
They won't change the taxpayer dollar. I got you. Okay, well, that's fine. Just make sure that for all topics that we discuss here, do a snap judgment right away and say, no, we don't want to hear the caller. I've decided the way
caller.
It should be.
I didn't say the way it should be. I've just listened to Stan.
Well, no, but more information might sway your decision.
I took the next step. I actually read the entire article. I didn't depend on Stan's interpretation of it. I sat here and read it.
All right, Judy, stand by. We got to hit this break. You're first up. We'll take more comers, though. Great topic. 1-800-795-9565. Does everybody agree with me? The less you know, the better.
When car repairs get difficult...
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Hi, everybody. Steve Jones, Neil Coulong on the NFL Today, 3 to 5 News Radio 1070 WKOK.
All right. Judy's been very patient.
Yes, Judy, good morning.
Go right ahead.
Good morning. Stan gets an A-plus for his call. Because now you don't need people calling in. We got you two debating. I'm kidding. Anyway, I was appalled when I heard what Stan had to say because I wasn't aware of that. But what I was aware of as of last week... Do you know that under 18 years old, you cannot get married according to Pennsylvania state law anymore? No matter what.
Can you turn your radio down?
Not with parental consent? Nothing. No. The answer is no. You cannot get married under 18.
Can you turn your radio down?
I couldn't believe it.
Okay. Can you turn your radio down?
It's kind of feedbacking.
There we go. We got
there,
it done.
Okay. Where is this a new state law? I haven't heard of this.
Yeah, less than 18.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
yes. And I checked it out in our legislative office. Yes.
Well, is that a good or a bad thing?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's terrible. What?
Really?
What does a poor young girl, if she makes a mistake, but she has maybe a childhood sweetheart that she's been with for years.
No. Oh, okay.
And she unfortunately gets pregnant. She can't get married.
Not even with parental consent. That isn't... Well, she could
I was shocked. Not even with parental consent.
She could go to another state. I mean, Pennsylvania may stop it, but she could go to Maryland, New Jersey, Delaware, New York.
But then is it acknowledged in Pennsylvania? I don't know.
Well, the new Marriage Respect for Marriage Act, which the president has either signed or will be signing, guarantees that if a marriage is legal in the state where it was performed, all other states must recognize it.
Judy is 100% correct. Pennsylvania marriage age requirement laws previously allowed minors as young as 16 to get married with parental and or court consent. However, May of 2020, Pennsylvania legislature and several other states followed several other states in outlawing child marriage altogether. The minimum age to get married in Pennsylvania is 18, and there are no excepciones. How about that?
Well, yeah, I can't believe that this is true, that you can do things in a transgenderly, but yet you can't allow people who make a mistake to get married.
That's a good point.
The state or who want to get married, the state who truly love each other. Perhaps they truly love each other.
The state will.
I've known of childhood sweetheart marriages that have lasted forever.
Right. 60, 70, 80 years. You hear about it from time to time.
Well, the state will perform a sex change operation for your child, but they won't let your child get married. That's
exactly.
That seems a little odd.
Exactly. This is why I couldn't help it. I had to call because I was so upset over this.
Well, you make a good point. It does. It seems inconsistent, to say the very least.
Well, thank you very much.
All right.
Thank
thanks for calling, Judy.
Call.
I'm glad to hear from you again. All right. 1-800-795-9565. I never said it because Stan was on the line, but On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Always do go to sunburymotors.com if you want to make an appointment at the quick lane or do whatever work you need done on your vehicle. You can call us during the 9 a.m. hour, 1-800-795-WKOK. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM. We probably got some text there. I never had a chance to fire up the device. Because I was listening to Stan.
Well, you've got 5 minutes to do it during the news.
But I have to prepare for headlines.
Oh, all right. Well, then, we won't have any texts.
That takes 6 minutes. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. We're talking about taxpayer-funded transgender-affirming surgeries or gender-affirming surgery. Could it be justified under any circumstance? I say maybe. Everybody else says no. We'll take your opinion. This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe is directly across me.
What's the problem here?
Nothing.
What's so amusing?
I see you boning up on our topics today.
That's
always
right. Well,
it's
I'm
good
trying,
for you.
I try to learn as I go along. Despite your assertion that I have no facts, I attempt to amass
I never
them.
Said you had no facts. I said you had three or four.
Now, let's take a history quiz. We'll see how we both do.
Oh, dear. Go ahead.
Lynn can write one up for us.
Okay, history quiz. What year was the U.S. Constitution ratified?
1789.
I'd say that's the correct answer. Lynn? She doesn't know. It's not the Civil War. All right.
She knows more than the Civil War.
Okay, Google. What year was the U.S. Constitution ratified?
1798.
I see you're right. Oh, it's not going to do words. Yes, that's correct. Isn't it not going to do words? It just shows me the answer. Come on, I wanted to know the answer. Up here we go.
Written in 1787, ratified in 1788, and in operation since 1789, the United States Constitution is the world's longest surviving written charter of government.
Yeah, interesting.
You
okay.
Fail.
And President Trump would like to suspend portions of it.
Well, that's so another issue.
That's not right.
No.
All right. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. We got open phones right now. We talked about transgender taxpayer gender affirming surgery for pre-adults 18 years old and under. Is that right under any circumstances? I have desperately called for more information, but some of our good callers and Mr. Joe have said nope, under no circumstances
That's
would that be.
That's not what we said at all.
Okay.
You're mischaracterizing our position.
Your statement. Well, Stan was 100% clear, no under any circumstances. So
that's
fine.
That's unequivocal.
That's fine. Yep, it's all good. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Call us now with your view on this important topic, 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM. Got a bunch of emails and texts. We're going to get to those very shortly. family here. We want to tell you about the Sunbury Motor Company. It's a family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury. Oh, and Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf at Runyon Road. People say, what's the crossroad there? Right at Hummel's Texaco in Hummel's Wharf. SunburyMotors.com and Country Turf and Trail, Hummel's Texaco, I guess would be the accurate name these days. But SunburyMotors.com is the place to go. Ford, Hyundai, and Kia, brand new vehicles all over the place. They have one unmet need. They are looking for more staffers. So if you're looking for a career change, a first job, an entry-level technician, or experienced technician, Sunbury Motor Company is the place to go. And they are selling the Ford Mustang. This is the V8 GT form. I don't know what the gasoline mileage is. It probably averages maybe about 20 or so. But the V8 just sounds like a muscle car dating back to the 60s. Just fantastic. And of course, it is a modern road car, sport car. So handling, cornering, control, even driving on slippery rain, going to be fantastic. It's modeled after the Mach 1s of yesteryear, but is just a wonderful look and super hot gasoline motor vehicle. And it is, of course, it's got everything you'd want, including the blind spot warning and forward collision warning and all that stuff. So I'm sure Ford doesn't love me explaining that the technology that they've installed in this car is, quote, all that stuff, unquote. But you get the idea. Very highly rated by Consumer Reports. And I would say the cheapest Mustang they ever built was only $30,000. Now the most expensive one would be above $80,000. But you can choose in between there and get a Ford Mustang, the gasoline-powered Mustang at the Sunbury Motor Company. Order one up. They would just love to do business with you. SunburyMotors.com. We are going to take a call, and then I'm going to do news headlines. That's the way to go here. So, caller, thank you so much for dialing in. You are now on the air. We're going to talk to you, and then we'll go ahead and do our headlines. Go right ahead.
Okay. Hello. I am very nervous.
Well, that's understandable.
First time talking on the air. And I think you kind of changed topics. But I wanted to call about the transgender issue. And I'm wondering, well, you were saying how they have funding for that.
Oh, your radio's on. Yeah, turn your radio off.
Okay. I thought I had it down. No, wait. There we go.
There's me telling her. Okay, go ahead.
There we go.
Yeah, there was some apparently, we assume Medicaid, right? Or do we know that definitively?
State funding.
State funding of somehow to help the gender-affirming care for these adolescents.
Okay, now my issue is my daughter had her two babies, and she was working without public medical insurance. Okay, she was working and paying to have her medical insurance. And she said, Mom, I think now I have enough babies. She said, I don't think I can afford to have any more babies. And they denied her to get, what would I want to say, to prevent her from having more babies, the surgery.
Get her tubes tied or hysterectomy?
Right.
So tubal ligation.
So her husband had it. Because it was less expensive for him to have it than her to have it. Okay, now, 5 years later come, and she had a tubal pregnancy.
Okay.
And then it was covered by her insurance. And then she...
Where are we headed with this, though? What's the point?
The point is, where do these
Transgender?
Transgenders get their medical insurance from. And my daughter's paying for medical insurance. And, you know, she almost... When you have a tubal pregnancy...
Right, it can be fatal. We're familiar
yes,
with that.
Yes, can be fatal.
Yep. Okay.
But I think you're when you first started, you said the government is paying for these transgender.
Oh, right. So is that so you're saying is that a bad use of the money if they're using it for gender affirming surgery for adolescents who could change their mind at any moment versus an adult person who could use some financial help to get the tubal ligation or the tubal pregnancy taken care of, right?
Is right. That,
okay. Yep, good point. Well, and I think you could probably say that with all taxpayer dollars. Every single dollar that's ever been spent by the government could probably better be spent on something else, and there's always somebody that would argue that. So, okay. All right. Well, listen, thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah.
Point noted that there's an irony there, that why would you use taxpayer dollars for this when there's so many other things and so many other individuals who could better use that dollar? All right, that opens back up the phone lines, 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarket@koki.com. We'll get back to that topic. We have a half a dozen emails and some texts on this topic. So thank you, Stan, for stirring the pot, as he says. All right. Former Villanova men's basketball coach and Bucknell graduate Jay Wright. Are you happy now, Joe? Is this year's graduation speaker at his alma mater. Bucknell announced Monday Wright will speak at their 173rd commencement next May. Wright, a 1983 Bucknell grad, led Villanova to two NCAA championships and four Final Fours during his tenure there. Lewisburg resident and Canadian bronze medalist Joey Lai has been taking her talents from the softball field into the business world as she is a life coach and helping individuals, particularly young girls.
I said to myself, how can I impact people on a greater scale? And the answer came to me of start my own business and see how far I can go with this. Just seeing that impact has continued to motivate me to grow this business.
She was recently on a national TEDx broadcast celebrating the 50th anniversary of Title IX. You can find out more about her on our WKOK Sunrise podcast as well. Prices at the pump now below the year-ago level, including diesel, which will fall back under $5 per gallon. GasBuddy.com reported Monday national gasoline prices now average $3.36 per gallon. And in Pennsylvania, gasoline prices down 9 cents a gallon in the past week. More information is out today on the Philadelphia top prosecutor going to court in response to efforts by the State House and Senate to impeach him and remove him from office. Our correspondent David Payne has that update.
District Attorney Larry Krasner has filed suit claiming the impeachment vote in the State House and upcoming trial in the Senate are illegal proceedings. The suit claims the state legislature lacks the authority to remove an official elected by the citizens of Philadelphia. The trial is taking place during a different legislative session than the impeachment vote, and there is no allegation of misbehavior in office, which the law says is needed for removal. A two-thirds Senate vote is needed for Krasner to be ousted.
I'm David Payne, News Radio 1070 WK. Okay.
All right, some good news out of the Pennsylvania Farm Show yesterday. The Pennsylvania Dairymen's Association announced during next year's Farm Show they'll have a new flavor of milkshake there. Orange cream milkshake. At first, I thought chocolate and vanilla was satisfactory. The peanut butter last year was just ridiculously good. Yep. Now, orange cream milkshake.
No, that's a waste.
It's a mixture.
Stick to the peanut butter, chocolate, vanilla. Strawberry
orange
be okay.
Juice frozen with ice cream and vanilla. Yeah, it sounds pretty good. They're also doing some sampling opportunities. They're calling it Milkshakes on the Move. That's the name. It has six O's in it. And they are in Lemoyne coming up on Friday. Let's see. Lititz, Gratz. Oh, that's not too far from here. Gratz, you could be there within an hour, right? Harrisburg, Gettysburg are the places where
when I was a kid, I loved the Farm Show, going up there to eat the baked potatoes, the hamburgers, the milkshakes.
We have the milkshake news posted at WKOK.com. The U.S. Supreme Court's conservative block appeared sympathetic Monday to a Colorado graphic designer who argues a state law prohibiting discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation violates her free speech rights by forcing her to express a message that conflicts with her religion. During oral arguments in the case known as 303 Creative LLC versus Elenis, the court seemed to move closer to resolving a question left unanswered in 2018. When the court's conservative majority appeared prepared to find that Colorado cannot force web designer Lori Smith to create websites for same-sex weddings, several recognized that there are differences between artists who are conveying a message and vendors simply selling goods and services. How about that? So they're going to separate, or they may end up separating artists from normal vendors.
You still opened up a shop. You still said, I want people to come in and buy what I'm selling. I'm sorry. You do that, you take what comes through the door.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
Well, that's
well,
unusual.
There we go.
There, it's the end of the program,
ladies and gentlemen,
folks. Tune in tomorrow.
Lena, we're done here. It didn't work out. All right. One other sentence here. Joe, you may know this to be true. Psychologists who studied more than 40,000 couples say they know the one thing all successful relationships have. It's called turning toward as opposed to turning away. The best couples know that during times of conflict, it's best to turn toward the person and complete your discussion to its logical conclusion rather than turn away or walk away.
Who knew?
So you may not be married for 60 years. It'll just seem like forever.
Right.
All right. One caller before the break, and that is another person who's calling us. Go right ahead. You're on the mark.
Yes, it was Mom from Shemokin. I think you had a closing remark for me about the transgender
individuals, yep.
Funding and my daughter she wanted to, you know, she was prepared to have her.
What do you want to add, real quick? We got to take the break. Yeah. We're already behind. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, you had a closing remark.
Which was wrong in
where
your view?
Where are these? No, you were right.
Oh, good. Okay, well, I'm about to hit
something. I think you were just saying goodbye.
Oh, I gotcha. That's all right. Well, thank you so much for calling back and making sure we
make sure
wrap
that
up.
You said goodbye. Yes,
much appreciated. Right. All right. Stand by, Bob. We will be right back. Are there any circumstances at all whatsoever in your wildest imagination where taxpayer dollars would be appropriately used to pay for gender-affirming surgery? Lots of folks in our audience saying absolutely not. I'm using my imagination to say, well, I don't know tons here. Maybe there are some circumstances. What's your view on this? We'll be right back.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Stan. He plays, among other games, the one called, quote, why don't you and him fight? Inherent in every game is dishonesty. Not certain at whom that's directed.
Then, I think she said Stan at the
well,
top.
Well, I don't know. Who is he fighting with? Mark, I understand you're playing a liberal, but this is one of our emailers. Mark, I understand you're playing a liberal, but this issue of taxpayers paying for adolescent gender change is wrong in many ways. But first and foremost, children change their minds daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly. To do something to their physical being that would be hard, if not impossible, to reverse is wrong. After 18, they can change into anything they choose at their own expense.
All right, noted. Yes, thank you very much. Bob, you are on the mark. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for waiting.
Yeah, good morning. How about 12-year-old girls who get pregnant? How can they change that?
Well, they could. It seems to me that there could be some birth control prior to then that could change things. Afterward, I don't know.
Well, and, you know, the lady that just called in, I applaud her daughter working and being able to pay for her own health care. I mean, if she has a low income, she can go to the welfare office and apply for it. And you can actually go to the hospital and have procedures done and have your income looked into that and have that taken off your record. But as far as health care, my tax dollars, I don't care what people are using them for because I'm never going to see it. I really don't care. It's going to go away. But what about Narcan? They're giving that away like candy. You're out there trying to kill yourself on drugs, and then they bring you back to life with Narcan, and taxpayers are paying for that. Is that okay too, Joe?
Well, it's saving a human life. There's a difference between mutilating a child and saving a human life.
How is it mutilating a child's life with them wanting to change their sex, you know, gender?
Well, if they have a surgery that can't be reversed, I would say that's pretty life-altering right there.
Well,
you?
And part of this was a medication that
medical castration, right.
Yeah, that changed her reproductive system,
but there's nothing
about,
they're not in imminent danger of dying, but the person who's taken an overdose is, and the Narcan saves their life. Now, maybe their life, if you're making the argument, Bob, that their life isn't worth saving, that's another argument entirely. But society, as I believe, has a vested interest in making sure that people don't die unnecessarily. I feel the same way about children who get aborted as I do about the drug addict who made his own decisions, you know, and he's paying the consequences, but society has an interest in seeing that that human life is preserved.
Right, and police and first responders, you should, of all people, know this, Bob, as a nurse, have one goal, and that's one goal only. Treat people, make them better.
Well, I'm saying, you know, if you don't want to let somebody else use the funding for whatever they want to do, why should I try and help somebody that's using drugs and overdosing on theirself? I'm not a nurse that's working with drug addicts that are saying, here, shoot yourself up and see if you die.
Right. Ironic use of taxpayer dollars is the subtext of your call, then. That's
and what happened to your body, your right choice, huh?
Well, you made a choice to put fentanyl or something in your system, right? So we should just stand there in the street corner and say, hey, tough luck for you, buddy. You made your choice.
Well, first of all,
the garbage can to slip you out.
I think the Narcan that they're giving out like candy is going to individuals, so it isn't first responders. I assume first responders, but that would be false if you're using the Narcan, for example. My neighbor has some, and why? Because they have a relative who is somebody who has been addicted, and they want to make sure that if they need it, that they have it. So they have some, and they'll administer it if they think it'll, if it's appropriate.
All of the police departments carry Narcan these days, to enable them when they respond to something like that to be able to deal with it.
And if you go to, let's see, the Sunbury Church, the Christ Wesleyan's Church for Addicts, I forget what the name of it is now, Drug Church, somebody would call it. That's not what it is, but there's a half a dozen people that will say that they turn their lives around after having their lives presumably saved. You never know if they're actually going to die, but presumably saved with Narcan, and that was the tipping point for them, or was one of the things that happened to them at sort of what they would describe as rock bottom, and then they turned themselves around.
Well, I think the logical question here is if it was your child who was getting that Narcan, would you want them to get it, or would you want them to just say, tough luck, you made a choice, and we're not paying for it?
They've been a bad actor all along.
Right.
Bob, we'll let you speak briefly, and then we have to go.
Okay, well, if you know your child's on drugs, you should get them help. You shouldn't have to wait until they're overdosed.
This doesn't work quite that way, Bob. You'll learn that as
in a perfect world,
on.
Bob, you're
well,
correct.
Well, yeah, that's true. Kids have a mind of their own, and you'll learn that when the time comes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thanks,
thanks for calling
appreciate
in.
Appreciate your call.
All right, 1-800-795-9565, upper right-hand corner.
Yeah, and this is a good point. If Dennis says, if an 18-year-old is considered too immature to own a gun, then how can a 5-year-old decide their gender is wrong?
Yeah, I would first of all, individuals know when their gender is, when they're having gender dysphoria. This much we know for sure.
Oh,
They don't need any outside help to make that decision.
How do we know that for sure?
Because millions of people have lived it and told us.
And where are these? Where's this written down? Where may I research this so that I have all of the facts
that
you seem to possess?
People that are transgender know that they are not interested living out their assignment, gender?
You just said to me a few minutes ago that I don't have all the facts. Give me the facts here that's where that's been proven.
That people who are transgender know that they would rather be the other gender.
No, not that they know that they would rather be, that they know they should have been and require treatment to achieve it. That's the argument here. Not if we're talking about what they think they want, then the argument that we should pay for it, you've made my case. We shouldn't be paying for it if it's just a matter of you think you'd like to be.
All right.
I think I'd like to be a brain surgeon, but do you want me to operate on you?
I think Joe just had me for
Maybe
lunch.
Maybe I could.
I'm not sure. Joe, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in. Different
hey,
Joe.
Good morning, everyone. I think this might be with Joe. You said something. I think it was involving the Supreme Court case that's up soon, not now, but and you ended your statement that you should take what comes through the door.
Yes, I did say that.
Oh, I mean, if you just maybe explain a little bit, but I have a what if thing.
I'm saying if you open up a business and you say, I'm providing this service, I'm selling this product, and here is my business address, and I'm open from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. every day. When somebody comes through there, it shouldn't matter to you whether they're gay, whether they're straight, whether they're LGBTQ, whether they beat their wife this morning, or whether they're a tap dancer in drag on Sunday afternoons. You sell them the product that you're there to sell them.
All right, but is there any excuse? Let me just take this example. I mean, you probably know more than I do about this. If I go to a lawyer and present a case and he says I don't want it, why can't I force him to take it then?
Well,
he has a product. I'm coming in the door and I say, I have a legal issue and I want you to take it. And he says, no.
Well, that's different.
Well, the
time, not like I'm, a full schedule. Maybe you would even agree with that.
Okay, but. Well, you go to an insurance attorney and tell him you want him to defend you on a murder charge. He's going to turn you down.
not something stupid like that. No, I might not be that smart, but I'm not going to. A marriage divorce lawyer for a murder charge. I'm saying legitimate case where you go in the door.
Hopefully
the guy
it
has,
doesn't come to
he
them.
He says, I defend,
Well, let's,
maybe
take it, let's make it simple.
Even that's his field, like Johnny Cochran or somebody. I don't even know.
Joe, let's make it simple. You go to a lawyer to get a will done. Almost any lawyer can accomplish that without too much difficulty. If the guy turns you away because, I'm sorry, I don't do wills for black people, I don't do wills for gay people, then I think that lawyer should be disbarred or he should be stopped. I think if you go in there for a service the lawyer can easily provide and he chooses not to provide it because he doesn't like something about you, then I think he's wrong, the same way I think this graphic designer is wrong for not accepting, her religion. They're not asking her to change her religion. They're not asking her to condone it. They're asking her to just draw up the website for it, which is what she says she does.
And likewise, if that lawyer, if he or she says, I know you want me to draw up a simple will, but the trouble is, I really focus on real estate now, and I'm totally and completely swamped. I don't have time for this. You can get this done anywhere. You can get this done online. Then I think professionals can turn you away, but not if they say, well, the reason I'm not going to do this is because I happen to know that your husband, your male and your husband's going to be in the will. Joe, we'll give you the last word. Please
ahead. Let's just go quickly that if I say I come to your company there, the news, and you want advertising, and I say, okay, I want to advertise. Can I do that? And then you have to take it, such as I advertise KKK memorabilia and Nazi memorabilia. Could you say no to that? Or whoever's your department head,
you
because
no.
You don't like it.
Well, let me give you an example. A few years ago, when I was running,
how
place. We had an adult entertainment site located
south. I remember you telling this story down the road there.
And so they came up with an ad that was completely non-offensive. It was a G-rated ad for what was probably at least an R, possibly an X-rated business. But there was absolutely nothing in the content of the ad that made it objectionable or offensive to community standards. So I would say it would depend on the way you structured your ad. If you said, hey, folks, I'm a KKK member, and I want to show you how to actively hate black people. No, I wouldn't take that.
If I dictate how it should be advertised.
I would tell you, I would offer you alternatives to the copy that you submitted. I would tell you why it would be
adhere to community. Don't you adhere to community standards?
Well, you know, the FCC used to have not the Fairness Doctrine, I forget what it was called, but it used to have a set of standards, the NAB Code. The NAB Code spelled out certain things. You couldn't take hard liquor advertising. You couldn't do this, you couldn't do that. Right. So, you know, we've gone by the boards. Today I see commercials for all sorts of things, that some of them which are fairly disgusting.
I don't understand that when you say you take what comes through the door. And then you have exceptions for
it. But you're missing the point. Broadcasting's a bad example because we are responsible, except in political ads where the candidate is on the commercial, we are responsible for the content of the ad. If a guy came in here and said, I have a toothbrush that will cure cancer, and we actually did have somebody who said that.
I see your extreme point. That's a way to make a point. I do that myself.
No, but it's not extreme. It's just we have an affirmative obligation.
A toothbrush curing cancer. Now, come on.
Hey, there was a guy who had made that claim here years ago.
Oh, okay. But that's an extreme that, you know.
But you're the one saying
there's no exception.
No,
the door, you have to take it. You're the one who said that.
But you're missing the point, Joe.
Okay,
we have an obligation. But the FCC says we have an obligation to determine if claims made in ads we run are accurate. We have an obligation to do that. So if we can't prove or we don't know that your claim is accurate, then we have an obligation.
I'm just selling something. It's not my. If you stick to my claim, I'm just selling something like Ford Motor is selling something.
You're selling KKK.
Lie about them.
You're one
saying
at a time.
You're selling KKK memorabilia.
Electric cars.
Your example was pretty egregious. We don't have too many people selling KKK memorabilia come through the door.
But what's wrong with that?
I know,
it's just an antique.
I use extremes to make a point, like you do. But selling Ford electric cars is egregious to the ecosystem.
Really?
The green people. It has to be offensive to green people.
Everything
offends
somebody.
Well, the mining for all that and the child labor in Africa and all that. I know we're getting off, and I'm taking up some time, but it sounds like you're saying no exception, and then you say exceptions. But this lady's an independent owner of her own business, too, so I don't know. I'll wait for the case to come out. I find it interesting
how it relates to the previous case
in Colorado. They're setting this person up for a Supreme Court case they did the Baker, so we'll see how it turns out.
All right, thank you.
But Joe, suppose that same woman said, I'm sorry, I don't do websites for black weddings. I don't do websites for Catholic weddings because it's the great whore
of
Babylon.
Did you hear some of the testimony yesterday in the Inquisition?
I did. I did see
you're
some of
doing
the questioning.
You and the good
Justice
caller
Kagan.
Are doing exactly what they did. What if? What about?
But that's how
what
you decide.
Do?
In other words, if you're making a case and they give you an example, you have to be able to defend that example as it relates to the situation. Do you not?
Yes. And as we, as reported by CBS, the court's conservative majority appeared prepared to find that Colorado cannot force web designer Lori Smith to create websites for same-sex weddings. Several recognize that there are differences between artists who are conveying a message and vendors simply selling goods and services. So it looks like they might be leaning towards, and this is very early on, they might be leaning towards some sort of a thing that Joe's talking about where there has to be some discretion that, you know, the rule is yes, this Lori Smith's web design is open, but You know, she's deeply religious and felt that the same-sex wedding was violated religious beliefs, and what she does is art, and so she won't do it.
They're not asking her to perform the marriage. They're not asking her to endorse the marriage. They're asking her to do what she says she does, which is design websites for weddings.
Yeah, but that strikes at the heart of what art is, where it's a heartfelt depiction of what you're feeling. She might show two devils in a wedding dress, okay, you know, getting married.
Maybe Nimrod.
Right, around the Nimrod tree. All right, that's the perfect time to stop. 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565, upper right-hand corner before we go.
Not a joke. If a Muslim photographer refuses to take a picture of you and your pet pig, does that fall under this same principle?
Right, and that's what the Supreme Court did yesterday. More than a dozen examples exactly like this.
As long as we don't ask the Muslim photographer to eat the pig, I don't see why he would have an objection to taking its picture. Sure.
Including Justice Elena Kagan, who said, what about
interracial
marriages, right, but and did not look at Clarence Thomas when she said it.
Okay.
So, all right, 1-800-795-9565. We'll be right back. All right,
All right, our friend Doug says, so if it's perfectly fine for a child to decide they want to have surgery to change their sex because you can't change the DNA, you are what you were born, it is it also okay for a child to have a sexual relationship with an adult? I mean, if they're mature enough to decide they want to try to change their sex, it must be good for them to decide if they want to be in a sexual relationship with whomever they want. For that matter, who are we to question the adult who has sexual attraction to children and acts it out? It's all a slippery slope when you start down that hill. And he's right.
Creepy question, but a good one, Doug. Thank you. This is the last one related to this topic.
All right. this is a text. It says, I don't need to know more other than the mutilation of kids is 100% wrong. Adults over 18 could do as they please. And I would add, as long as they pay for it.
All right, no taxpayer dollars involved
right,
in this
no taxpayer
particular
dollars involved.
Form of health care or gender-affirming care. Well, and I'm not sure.
Gender-affirming care, that sounds so polite. This sounds much nicer than sexual mutilation.
Well, like I said, if you're not informed on this, you wouldn't know what it means. But in a nutshell, what it means is that for individuals that are transgender.
Whose affirmation?
Pardon?
Whose affirmation?
The person who is experiencing what they call gender dysphoria, or feels as though that they are not the gender that they were assigned as birth. And
see,
that
I have
they
career
are
dysphoria. I wanted to be that brain surgeon. I'm going to operate on
you.
You
want to go
right
back
now
to teaching history. That's what you want. Okay, moving on. I'll skip my explanation and tell you that all these texts are 100% brand new.
All right. The transgender agenda is a social contagion. And then Bob is in the child mutilating camp. Good to know. Then Joe, the web designer, is a private company, just as the big tech social media is. So if big tech can violate the First Amendment, web designer doesn't have to what? They ran out of letters.
Doesn't have to work for a same-sex couple, we'll say.
Well, that's probably
But that's an interesting point. You know, the Facebook says, we're open for business. We want you to put our page there. But if you're too conservative, they'll take your page down. So that's, you know, is that the same thing? Is that a violation?
Well,
if they're open for business.
Have they ever taken down the page of a flaming liberal? You know, we haven't heard that. But let's say you post something, you say, you know, we're out here in Portland, Oregon, and we're going to burn down the jail tonight. You know, would they take you off for that? If they would take off a liberal for the same type of thing they took a conservative off for, then I'd say that they're trying to moderate the content of their site, which, as you always point out, they have an absolute right to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not the government telling you can't speak. It's a private company saying this kind of comment isn't acceptable.
Well, liberals do get banished from Facebook. I just know that because of some people that have called the show and said, you know, I put up there that I think we should have a nasty protest at, you know, at X time at X location, and Facebook got reported to Facebook, and Facebook took it down. So, but that's not what Facebook is doing. Facebook isn't just banning individual calls to action. They're screening everything that goes up so that it has a liberal lean, you know. And but now everybody who uses Facebook knows that, but uses it anyway. So that's their own dumb fault. If you know that Facebook is, you know, like you say, you like to use Facebook to check out the grandchildren of other people and the families
and families.
To see how the families are coming along.
See how people I know are doing.
Right, exactly. Well, that's great.
That's why it's social media. It's not, I'm not trying to sell anybody anything. I tell people what's going on in my life, and I like to see what's going on in theirs.
Well, if that's all that it was used for, that's fine. I don't use Facebook anymore. I have no interest in looking at other people's lives anymore.
Well, and that's you. You don't really care about people. I do.
Well, I just rather find out more from people in person rather than...
So do you call up folks you haven't seen for a while and say, what's new in your life?
I do that with a few people annually, not an excessively large number. Right. I mostly just want to be left alone.
Right. Leave me alone. Okay, well, here's my problem with Facebook, and I don't know whether Lynn will agree with me or not, but I'm a big fan of the Gettysburg Museum of History, and a guy named Eric Dorr, he does a lot of work, and he has a lot of interesting things down at this, and I bought artifacts from him. You know, he does sell things like Gettysburg memorabilia, things that were collected before the federal government said you can't take stuff off the battlefield. It's all perfectly legal. But, you know...
Yeah, I like that picket fence that you have at your house. That's nice.
He has had some different things that involve World War II, and some of them are uniforms of Nazis, you know, and he posts pictures mm-hmm. of it, but he can let almost everything on that thing there, except he has to blank out the swastika.
Now, oh, really?
Now, who knows anything about World War II doesn't know of swastika?
But you see, on eBay, people are selling stuff with swastikas. That's a whole category of stuff, and for history buffs. They would buy coins that would have a Nazi symbol on them.
At the Gettysburg Visitor Center, they no longer sell Confederate flags. You know, this is the kind of insanity that's going on here with when we try to edit people, when we start down, as our writer said, that slippery slope. If you don't like it, don't buy it. Mm-hmm. You know, but don't mm-hmm. tell me I can't sell it. Don't tell me I can't sell or that I can tell people that come through my door that I won't sell it to them because I don't like the way they look, the color of their skin, what their sexual preference has to be. I'm sorry. I'm in business. I want your money. If I didn't want your money, why did I open a business?
All right. 1-800-795-9565 on the topic of the U.S. Supreme Court.
And WRR is one of our liberal friends. He says, Joe, I am gobsmacked. I can't believe we are agreeing with each other. If you operate a business and provide a service, you take what comes through the door. What's next? Dogs and cats becoming friends?
Sorry, WRR. It's a bad situation there.
So I don't
right
know
now.
Whether you're becoming more reasonable or I am, but no, I'm serious. I was in business, the business of running radio stations for almost 45 years. And so I don't, you know, I have a serious feeling that, you know, you're in the business to provide a service or a product. And who you provide it to, I mean, if I sold guns and you came in and said, I need a gun, I want to shoot my grandmother tonight, then I'd have an obligation not to sell you that gun. But if you come in and buy that gun and you subsequently commit a murder, am I responsible for what you did with it? I know there are some people who want to hold you responsible for that.
I don't think they want to hold the gun dealer who knew nothing. They want to hold the gun company responsible.
So that's like saying because your grandmother was run over by a reindeer that we should sue Santa Claus and tell Santa Claus he can't have a reindeer anymore.
Don't even joke, okay? All right, not this time of year.
Okay.
1-800-795-9565. We'll take some speedy dialers on this topic. U.S. Supreme Court hearing arguments on a case of an individual who says there's a tremendous amount of artistry that goes into her graphic designs for the websites of couples that are about to get married, and she does not wish to do so for a same-sex couple because of her religious beliefs. Joe says, nope, once you put up the shingle out front that says websites for hire, you have to take anybody that comes in the door. I don't think I disagree with that very much, other than I am familiar with the fact that an artist's work is from the heart and isn't just a mechanical cut and paste. But you said the court did have one, for instance, where they say, okay, well then take a same-sex couple or an opposite-sex couple and just paste in our name and our pictures wherever you put their stuff, and you said the attorney didn't really have
their attorney had a hard time.
Well, if you don't understand art, you might not be able to answer that one. All right, 1-800-795-9565. We will be right back.
When car repairs get difficult,
well, I
just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
All right, we got one caller. You got one email related to our topics. Upper right-hand corner.
That's not related to our topic.
Oh, never mind. It's a new one. False alarm, but go ahead.
All right, Tom says, zero talk on falling gas prices. How about that, Joe Biden? Yes, he had nothing to do with them going up, but boy, what a great job he's done.
He has done a lot to make gas prices go down. It's all working. Are we done with the strategic reserve?
No, he's pumping more out of there.
Oh, we are still doing that. Okay. Lower right-hand corner now.
Lower right-hand corner. The web designer doesn't have to work for everyone. Okay, well.
Okay. We'll see. Is that not the heart of the matter?
If you close your door at 5 o'clock, you don't have to take somebody at 5:05. I will agree with that.
We don't do that here.
No.
All right. Dale, you're on the mark. You can help wrap up wacky day.
No, I don't vote. I don't care about the vote. But I just want to know, what is the difference between the media announcing the winner, Warwick, won right now or tonight? What's the difference?
Warwick?
Warnock. I don't think they are announcing that he won.
No, nobody's announcing he won. They're just saying that polls show him leading.
What would be different if they announced it right now? What would,
be a false?
It would be a lie.
That's the big part.
It would what?
It would be assuming facts, not in evidence.
Well, if they did, what judge is, I mean, the judge and the media are all on the same agenda. So who would have, the courage to stand up and say something? Can you tell me?
Well, what is it they would stand up? What is it that you would have them stand up and say?
They shouldn't have announced it,
they didn't. Nobody's announced
the winner. What would be the difference? Tell me what would be the difference.
Well, the difference would be the votes aren't counted yet, so there's no possible way they could know.
that means the judges would have to prove the media wrong. Right.
Well, it'd be easy to prove.
Have you ever seen the classic photograph of Harry Truman holding up a copy of the Chicago newspaper?
That's what I want to tell you, voters. These guys don't understand.
No, I pray we don't.
Upon a narrative.
Yeah, voters are stupid.
Narrative is media. We said it. That's the narrative. I mean, that's why the voting don't matter. It doesn't matter. None of these people. I give you bread. God gives you bread. That's all that matters. I think they should announce the winner right now. So, I mean,
just gives you bread.
Well, wouldn't we count the votes? Wouldn't it be a good idea to actually count the votes before we announce the winner?
But if it don't go their way, it don't fit the narrative. You understand that?
What's the narrative? What narrative do you think should this fits?
The media, the media judges and all that, they're all in cahoots.
But to what end? They're all in cahoots. Let's say I agree with you. They're all in cahoots. What is their end game? What are they trying to achieve?
I would say just announce it now just to let the people know that they're pigeons. That's all I want to say.
The people are pigeons.
I mean, that would be truth. People like the truth. That's
Dale, if you were a statue, I'd visit you daily.
That's all I want to say. The truth is very powerful.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Dale.
Yep, nicely done. All right. Well, that's it, buddy.
I don't know where to go from.
Good show today. I told you. It's going to be a wacky end to a wacky day.
The people are pigeons.
Right. Well, they're not really casting votes. They think they are.
Apparently not.
I guess they're not.
No, I guess they're not.
Well, thank you, everybody who participated. Thanks for getting Stan, for getting us on a good topic. So, to be continued, I invite everybody to bone up on the topics and then call us. I think we had a good discussion.
Or call in complete ignorance and tell us how you feel.
And call yourself Stan. No, come on now. Just a little joke there. Come on. This is WKOK Sunbury, 10 a.m. time for the Dan Patrick Show.